Today we celebrate two events. We are still in the octave of the celebration of the ascension of Christ. And so you heard in the hymns references to Christ's ascension. You also heard in the gospel reading references to Jesus coming to the Father. But there was another theme that you heard, and that was the theme of guarding the truth. Guarding the truth. You heard that in the gospel and in the epistle. In the epistle, let me remind you what St. Paul says here. This epistle was chosen because St. Paul was heading to Pentecost, which, as you know, we will be celebrating next Sunday. The Jews celebrated Pentecost. We don't celebrate Pentecost because the Jews celebrate Pentecost. That would be called Judaizing. We celebrate Pentecost because of the great event of the descent of the Holy Spirit that happened on that day. And we'll talk about that next Sunday. So we are right now heading toward Pentecost. Christ has ascended. And so we're hearing themes of this idea of ascension, but we're also looking forward to the coming descent of the Holy Spirit. Why is it important that the Holy Spirit descend? Why is it important that Jesus ascend and the Holy Spirit descend? Why is that? Because of the second theme that we're hearing right now in the gospel, in the epistle, and which we celebrate today in what's called the Sunday of the First Council of Nicaea. Let me read to you again a key theme in the epistle. He warns them. He says, "You have become shepherds of the flock." Literally in the Greek there, St. Paul speaking to the bishops of Ephesus. Literally in the Greek, "You have become bishops," episkopi, overseers. And then he says this. He says, he warns them, "Be careful about yourselves and the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has placed you as bishops, to herd the church of God, which he has redeemed through his own blood. For I know this," St. Paul says, listen to this, "that after I am gone, fierce wolves will get in among you and will not spare the flock. And from among you, some men will rise, speaking perverse doctrines to draw away the disciples after them. Watch therefore. So he's warning the bishops of Ephesus as he's headed off to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which for the Christians was now a very important event. They remember, this is years after that great Pentecost event, they're remembering how the Holy Spirit had descended on the feast of Pentecost while the Jews were celebrating the descent of the law on Mount Sinai. He warns them to guard, and he warns them that soon some will come, even from within the church, and distort the true faith, the Orthodox faith. Jesus said in the gospel, as he was praying, he says, "I have given them your word, and I have guarded them. And now, Holy Father, guard them, for I am coming to you." How will the disciples of Jesus be guarded? How will the words be passed on that Jesus has given to his disciples? How will those words continue to be passed on age after age until the second coming of Christ? But by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had said earlier in this Gospel of John, in chapters 14 through 16, we just read from chapter 17, in chapter 14, he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and he will cause you to remember everything I have said to you." So it is the Holy Spirit that is the the guarantor of the words of Christ being passed on throughout until the second coming in purity. St. Paul warns. He knows that it's going to happen within a generation, that there are some who are going to be leaving the church and drawing true Christians out with them, teaching things that were not taught by the apostles. This is called heterodoxy. Things which are not handed down. Orthodoxy is the handing down of orthodoxy, to hand for the true teachings. And this is why it is so important to maintain the Orthodox faith. This is why in the liturgy we pray for the protection and guiding of all Orthodox bishops. You heard, if you were here this morning during Orthros, how we prayed during the liturgy of Orthros for all Orthodox Christians. That is, true believing. True believing, holding to the true faith. Very important. Very important. Why does the church have us celebrate this today? Well, not only is the theme there, of course, in the gospel and in the epistle, but it is also to prepare us for the great gift of the coming of the Holy Spirit next Sunday. Jesus Christ has ascended back to the Father. And we need to know what that means. The Word of God, who did not have a human nature, took on a human nature and became not only true God as He was before, but now true man. And He has now ascended back to the Father with our body, with a human body, which is a sign of the future salvation of all of us, with our bodies. How is it possible that that true faith that was proclaimed at the Council of Nicaea will continue to be passed on? How is it possible that the true faith, the Orthodox faith, was proclaimed at the Council of Nicaea in 325? 300 years after Christ had ascended, basically. By the power of the Holy Spirit which descended. The Holy Spirit is the guide of the church. Jesus promised that the true faith, the words He had given, would continue to be passed on throughout generation until generation by the power of the Holy Spirit until He returns. That is guaranteed. Jesus said it. And He promised the Holy Spirit would guard it. But we also hear in the New Testament a number of warnings that there will be Christians who, though having heard the truth, having even received the Holy Spirit, will reject the Holy Spirit, will reject the truth, and go out and proclaim things that are not of the Orthodox faith. That is, heterodoxy. These are, St. Paul warns, like wolves among the sheep, who will try to destroy the flock. And of course, if you know about a wolf or a coyote among a flock of sheep, many sheep die, right? Are taken in by their doctrines. St. Paul warns elsewhere in his epistle to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. He warns Timothy, he says, preach the word, that is the gospel, the truth, at all times, Timothy. Because dangerous times are coming. St. Paul warns Timothy that times are coming when men will no longer accept the true faith, the gospel, but rather having itching ears, will look for teachers who will teach them all sorts of errors to appease them. Here we are today, 2,000 years later, and it has come to pass. 2,000 years later, here we are. There are still Orthodox Christians preaching the same faith that has been handed on for 2,000 years. This is why when people walk into our church, they're shocked. They're shocked by how we pray, how we sing, how we are vested, how the church looks, because it is not of this world. You can walk into lots of churches today and you'll find they look nothing like this. And people are shocked by the beauty of the ancient faith. When I was in Nebraska, we had a little outreach that our family started there. Thank God it's still going on, and looks like Bishop Nicholas will be going there for a visit because the community has developed. While we were there, a man came for a visit to our little outreach. There were just 10, 15 people in the church. We had a baptism. It was not a fancy baptism, but we did the best we could. We followed the tradition. It was a fully Orthodox baptism. By my standards, it wasn't very, fancy and elaborate or anything. We just did the best we could in this little church in Nebraska where we had borrowed some space, much like here. Afterward, the man who had visited, who had a PhD in ancient Christianity, he had a doctorate and was a professor at a university in ancient Christianity. He had spent his life studying ancient early Christian liturgy, that is, how they prayed, and early Christian baptismal ceremonies, how they baptized, early Christian belief. After the service, I said to him, "How did you like the service?" He looked at me and he said, "Do you realize what you just did? A baptism? We had a baptism, you know?" Thought maybe he's offended by how it wasn't all that elaborate. We did the best we could. And I said, "What? A baptism? Yes." He said, Do you realize you just celebrated here in Lincoln, Nebraska, in this little church, a third century baptism?" I said, "Well, yeah. This is the faith that's been handed on to us." He said, "I have been studying this my whole life. I have been teaching about services like this, and I didn't know they still existed. I've been reading about it in books, what I just saw you, this church, little church, do today." He was absolutely shocked by the fact that the Orthodox faith still existed. He'd never seen it, just read about it. And there he saw it, and he saw the beauty. Why do I say this today? Well, because this is the theme. This is what's important. This is what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit's coming, right? We're going to celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit this Sunday. But what do we do with the faith that has been given us? Are we participating in the continuation, the handing on of the Orthodox faith to fellow Christians or future generations? Or are we sitting around watching Donahue or Oprah or I don't know what's on today? Okay? I know what you're thinking. They're not on anymore. Oprah's still on, isn't she? I don't know. Anyway, whatever the talk shows are, whatever. What are we doing with the time Christ has given us? What are we doing with the information Christ has given us? What are we doing with the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we will celebrate next Sunday, which has already been given to us? Are we passive participants in the church? Or are we actively involved and engaged in shouldering the burden of passing on the gospel to the next generation? Are we doing that? In our family, in our workplace, in our neighborhood? When people walk by your house, do they know it's a Christian household, an Orthodox Christian household? I don't know. When you go and talk to your neighbor, does your neighbor who lives next to you on both sides and across the street, do they know what you believe? Do they know that if they knock on your door on Sunday morning, you're not going to be there? Do the people in the cubicles around you at work, do they know that in your cubicle, an Orthodox Christian works? And if they have a question about the ancient faith, they can come to you. It's a good question. Are we passive participants in handing on the faith? Are we just along for the ride, like a bunch of people on a bus while someone else is driving? Or are we actively involved in the process? So you might say, well, that's a good question, but I would like to be a little more helpful and a little more engaged in the neighborhood, but I don't know where to start. Well, I'm glad you said that. So today I have for you some books. Some books. Some of these I gave out to you a few years ago. If you recall the book, you say, well, I have that at home, I think. Well, that means you have it at home, but you haven't read it. Okay? Which means you need to take it out and read it. Okay? These are expensive. So I don't want to just be giving out, you know, 5 copies of this after 20 years and be getting it out and just, put one on the stack, on the shelf. Read it. These are the books that I gave out 2 years ago when I first came. It's called A Guide to the Domestic Church. This book, produced by our diocese, is used by many dioceses. It is so loaded with invaluable information. I just met an author the other day. I knew him, but as we were speaking, this author has written many books. We were talking, and he said, you know, the book I wrote, we were talking about one of his books on praying at home. And I was complimenting him on this book. And he said, well, the reason why I wrote that is because I had read this book that came from your diocese many years ago. I can't remember what it was called. It was about praying at home. I said, the domestic church? He said, yes, I read that book, and it was the inspiration for me to write a book for Roman Catholics to learn what you in the Melkite tradition have. Tragically, many in the Melkite tradition don't know what we have. And so I'm making sure we have knowledge of that today. I want to make sure you take one of these home for each household. I will put the rest of them on the shelf there, and people can purchase them for a donation to the church. But I want each of you, this is so invaluable, I want you to take one of these home. Okay? But if I'm making you take one of these home, realize that we purchased this, okay? So this is your money you've donated. Make sure it goes to good use. I want you to take one home per household, and I want you to read it. It is filled with wonderful information of how to celebrate the faith in the home, in the neighborhood, in the workplace. Okay? Make sure you take this home and read it. Maybe spend each Sunday, you read one chapter, or one, these are just page or two. Okay? If you read through this, you will know more about the faith than 90% of Christians in the world. Okay? Not too hard to do. Here's something else I want you to take home. And this might be shocking for you. It's a little pamphlet called Welcome to Our Church. I want you to take one of these envelopes home per household. Okay? For two reasons. One, we don't ever want to assume that we know about our church. I'm constantly learning the faith. I'm constantly realizing, learning, understanding new things that I did not know before. And so I want also you to understand that you don't know everything about the faith. You may think you do, but you don't. Okay? This little envelope full of nice little pamphlets will help you understand who we are, why we're here. And then I also want you to be familiar with these little pamphlets, wonderful, wonderful little pamphlets, because it will help you also then help others when they come to the church, because every time we have a visitor, they should receive one of these envelopes. Okay? So you have to know what's in the envelope before you hand it on to somebody. Say, oh, here's the packet that Father said to give to you. No, no, no. You want to read and say, here's a packet about our church. I myself have found it very helpful. Okay? These are some wonderful resources. They're not incredibly expensive. But they do cost money, and I want you to take them seriously and realize that what we are doing is investing in ourselves here through education in the faith so that we can be active participants in passing on the Orthodox faith to future generations in our family, in our neighborhood, in the workplace, and in the world. Jesus prayed today. In the gospel, we heard him pray that the Father not remove them from the world, his followers, but keep them in the world, but keep them and guard them as his followers in the world. How are we participating in that? Are we a sheep that is easy to be guarded? Or are we a sheep that takes a lot of attention by the shepherd? Right? Think about that. Where are you in the flock? Are you front and center in the middle? Or are you maybe scattering out on the edge and constantly looking out to the bushes and wandering so the shepherd has to constantly bring you back in? Think about a flock of sheep like that. Huh? And let us glorify Jesus Christ in our home, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, with His Heavenly Father, as all holy and good life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, to the age of ages. Amen.